Well, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Robert Stanley as we talk about the Anunnaki right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back, George Norrie, along with Robert Stanley, and your phone calls here on Coast to Coast. And Robert, last hour we were talking about what would you ask the Anunnaki if you had an opportunity to meet with them, and you didn't think that was going to be a pleasant relationship.
Well, it's both beautiful and brutal because they're still in the middle of, there's a rebellion going on with them. You could call it a war in heaven. That's the way the Christians look at it.
Right.
So it depends who you're talking to. See, that's the thing, you know. I've dealt with both sides of the issue, and this is why I told you. I have had this covert relationship with the benevolent ones because the malevolent or fallen ones are, they're dangerous. They have this criminal enterprise that they've got going on here, and it's that they don't want to relinquish it.
Do they have mystical powers?
Well, that's the way we perceive it, yeah. So-called magic is really just, as Arthur C. Clarke said, it's just processes that we don't understand yet. And especially the higher-ranking ones, they have spiritual abilities or sciences, techniques that are seem absolutely mystical or magical to us.
When people die, they talk about seeing the angelic realm. Are they
right.
Are they looking at the Anunnaki? Is that what they're seeing?
Yes. Any being that emits light is technically, I mean, the word, it just means the shining ones. To answer your question bluntly, yes, we are seeing them, but we're talking about a tremendous number of beings scattered throughout creation. It's not just one little group that's here on this world or maybe in the Orion system. It's a massive amount of life, a huge society, absolutely enormous.
Are these entities what William Henry calls light bodies?
Well, yes, but this is what I was getting to before the break. We have the potential, just like, you know, the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. This is very much what's going to happen to quite a few of us here coming into the near future. Part of it is because it's just the potential is built in. But what triggers that potential is that our whole solar system has moved into a different zone or of light. It's some people call it the photon belt, photon zone. It's where that our solar system has literally gone into the galactic plane. So the level of energy has gone up to a whole nother level. Light and energy, it's amplifying our consciousness. It's triggering our DNA, which resonates, by the way. It's like, much like strings on an instrument. DNA is hollow. There's resonating chambers in there. And so it's the so-called junk DNA. Once it's activated, we are going to transform or transfigure.
Let's go to the phones now. John is with us in Eastern Kentucky to get us started. Hello, John. Good morning.
Good morning, George. Hi, Robert. Earlier, I was talking with my wife about the Anunnaki, and I was felt to stay up tonight to listen to the show, and bam, here you are.
Synchronicity at its best.
Yes, sir. Wow. I was wondering about the pre-birth experiences being connected with the Anunnaki because I had one. And also, the Seven Sisters, I feel very connected with Pleiades. When I look up at the sky here in Kentucky, I can look up and I go right to it like I'm programmed to see it. And also, a lot of my prayers, they end with Elohim, which I'm very spiritual. George knows that. But I'm kind of feeling a little bit blindsided talking about this. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but this subject really plays hard on me. So, yeah, pre-birth experiences being connected, and also does Pleiades have any connection? Thank you, Robert and George.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not sure what the pre-birth experience is. You kind of alluded to it before, George. How does the soul attach to the physical form?
Yeah, somehow some experience on the other plane.
Okay. It seems to be a very complicated and well-orchestrated event or series of events that steer the soul to a circumstance that is the most beneficial for that soul's progress or growth. But ultimately, the choice is that of a soul, whether they want to, I mean, to oversimplify it, are they desiring to go down the path of light, or are they going towards the path of darkness? Because that's the option. That's the option when we come to the lower realms, and that's why free will is so important. What was the other part he said? Oh, the Pleiades?
The Pleiades, which could be where other life forms come from.
Of course. Here's the thing. So just because science doesn't admit it or understand it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There's life throughout all the different realms or, you know, aspects of creation. That's the whole point why it was created. It's to sustain life because that's the only way we can continue our growth. Since it was John, right, that called?
John, yeah.
John.
Kentucky.
So here's the shocker. Not only did I realize, because, you know, George, I always said that the being I met, the being of light that I met, looked like Jesus. But I could not reconcile the fact that he was radiating this light because I had never read anything about it until as I got older, much years later after the event in 1985 when I first met him. So now I can tell you conclusively, not only is it Anu, but I am 100% certain that Anu is the one that we call Jesus or Yeshua.
I was going to say, was Jesus an Anunnaki?
Yeah. Well, he's not just Anunnaki. He is considered the king or the leader of the group that is here doing this work, God's work here. And so most people think of Jesus as God, and I would have to say he's certainly an emanation or an extension of God, but he is the Anunnakis. I told you, we've called them gods and we've called them angels. And so, you know, loosely, a lot of people say, what's that song? Jesus was born the king of angels. And the thing is, he's the reason he had to walk among us as men, as a man, is so that we could relate to him in terms that we understood. And he came to help us find our way back onto the path of light. And that's the first book that Mr. O'Brien wrote about this. Is called The Path of Light, and again, you can link to it on my website. It's phenomenal. Absolutely, for me, that was the key that really broke the covert side of it. And you know, George, I've been asking for years, who are you? You know, why are you saying you're my father? None of that made sense to me.
It does now.
He knew. Not only was it dangerous for me as a young man, especially when I was in my 20s. To go around, if I had gone around saying, "Oh, I met Jesus and he's Lord Anu," and people would have looked at me like I really belonged in a rubber room with a white coat.
True, or a heretic, or something.
Something bad, yeah, would have happened to me, and he knew that. But he also knew that at some point, if I persisted, and also with some assistance from him and his group, ultimately I was going to not only figure it out, but integrate. That I was going to become part. I would just accept it and move forward, you know, with the relationship.
Next up, let's go to Janice on the island of Maui in Hawaii. Welcome to the show. Hi, Janice.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I understood you saying that the benevolent ones want us to ask for intercession to fight the evil ones. I'm aware that... I've been aware for a long time that we are in a spiritual battle. And every day I pray to Archangel Michael to defeat the evil ones and send into hell Satan and all the evil spirits that roam about the earth seeking the ruin of souls. So is Archangel Michael considered one of the shining ones? And should we be asking for his intercession?
Wow. Powerful question, Janice. Thank you so much. Yes, he is. He is. He's part of the process to liberate those souls that want to continue down the path of light and ultimately achieve their true potential as beings of light, sovereign souls. And it's they know who we are. Even though sometimes we don't know who we are, it's really clear to me that they know exactly who we are and what is our what our true heart desire is. So even if you don't see them with your eyes, just know that they're always around, they're always watching, and they always care. What was told to me was their love for us is never ending. Sorry, it makes me want to cry. Because I personally have a hard time accepting that, as flawed as we are, they see the good in us, and they know our true potential, and they're always standing by and or helping to nurture us, even when we don't recognize it.
Like true angels.
That's what they're called, ministering angels, I guess, or guardian angels, or we call them all kinds of things. I mean, that term just means messenger. Clearly, they bring messages, but they also minister to us and assist us, again, because we're all related. It's very clear. Now, I understand that.
You think the Anunnaki believes in God?
Absolutely. Well, the higher-ranking one do, for sure. Those who haven't fallen. And the thing, even the fallen ones, they know God exists. But they choose to turn away. This is what the path of darkness is all about, George.
Yep.
The further you go away from God, the darker it gets, and the more depressed and angry and confused. And it's just it's all explained very clearly in the book, The Path of Light. But it's demonstrated in there, you know, like how bad it could get. I mean, we think it's bad here now. Apparently, there's other places where it's much darker, much worse. But you have to choose to go there. You know, you can't. They're not just going to throw you in there for no reason. We basically choose that path.
We're taking calls with Robert Stanley. His couple of his books, by the way, include Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C., that came out in 2011, and Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. That came out in 2006. His website, unicusmagazine.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Next up, we go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hello, Joseph.
Thank you, George.
Sure thing.
Tonight's an interesting night.
They're always interesting, Joey.
All the time.
That's right.
I love some of the things they've been saying. As a school... perhaps the Anunnaki is also in school as well.
Correct. Bingo. Yes.
How does one advance? And we do have guides and angels, and they are very, very high up in the what people refer to as heaven. Not the heaven on the astral plane, because there's an upper astral plane that's considered heaven, the heaven of religions, which is pretty good. There is some spiritual advancement there, but... but reincarnation plays a major part in this. How do we advance faster, in fact, other than meditation? Is service to a higher good? Is becoming more focused on accomplishing something that does the greater good for as many souls, not people, but soul itself? And also that... there is a way that these souls, and they are considered contaminated, the dark ones. They're considered contaminated. So they are more in desperate need of the light than anyone else, because that can heal, as Christ would say. And he is very active in the world. And yes, we are never, never alone. And a lot of people that listen to the show, and they never call up, that are very advanced. And they're probably looking to see how many of their own kind is here in this world. And yes, there are souls that come from other planets, And this is an opportunity. These are very important times, unfortunately, very important times, where a soul can make a leap in their evolution. Thank you, George, for taking my call. And I'm sorry for the last time I called. I didn't have any sleep for like 38 hours, and I couldn't get my...
You were a little groggy, that's for sure. You were a little groggy. Robert, what do you think of those statements?
I'm so happy that Joe called in and said that. He's 100% correct. And I know he was positioning his questions, but he was basically telling us all the truth. He's very accurate. The Anunnaki are here to learn as well. And as far as, like Joe said, the only way for us to speed up the process of our ascension or evolution is to be of service to others.
Were the Greek gods the Anunnaki as well?
Yes, and all of them across all the different continents. That's in the book, The Shining Ones. I know Mr. Sitchin touched on it too as well, because it's pretty obvious when you step back and look at it, the bigger picture. They've been with us under many different names and many different times. All the cultures have some history that relates to them. And that's where it gets a bit confusing, because the continuity seems a bit broken. But again, once you know the template, everything fits, and it puts it into the proper context.
You know, and when you look at it in this perspective, and then look at Genesis in the Bible,
yep,
it all makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's, okay, since you brought that up, like, it's talking about a real event, but in ways that is very misleading. For example, the Elohim is the gods, the plural. And the Adam and Eve were actually a group, plural, of beings, Homo sapiens, that the Elohim or the Shining Ones had created. Satan is not an individual. It's a collective. It's the fallen ones. It's the watchers. So it changes the story quite a bit when you realize that there was a lot more players involved. They really dumbed down the information by doing that.
Well, they probably do, to be sure. And people can still get your books where?
On Amazon. Those books are still available. I guess Amazon owns my stuff. I must have agreed to that at some point.
And how do they hear your podcast, your radio show?
Oh, yeah. Just go to my website, theunicusmagazine.com, and click on radio, because I've got this. I got almost 600 hours of shows now, and they're playing on my radio station, the streaming radio station I got through the website.
That's a lot of programs.
Well, you've done, I don't know, like thousands of hours.
Thousands.
You know, many thousands of hours. It's not a contest. It's just saying, it's funny how it kind of stacks up over the years we've been doing. It's like, I mean, you and I have had, I think this is probably the 12th or 13th conversation we've had since 2006.
That's true. We're going to come back, Robert, and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, the tarot card reader Art Rosengarten joins us, and in his second hour, we will do readings. So get ready for that, a little treat for you. And then later on, our investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with the incredible story of the upcoming 25th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights, and that incredible story as well. And we're back, George Norrie with Robert Stanley and your calls. Robert, I got to commend you on just a marvelous job that you've done on this topic. Fantastic.
Well, thank you. You've been very helpful, George, over the years. I really appreciate it. I hope this isn't our last conversation, but I am going to have to step away from media for a while because I feel it's a little too dangerous right now. Now, here's the thing. You'd ask me, what would I ask the Anunnaki if I could? Well, I did in 2011. I asked Anu. Please give me some clarity about the situation. Why is things so screwed up? Okay. And that led me to write the article about the Archons, which you and I discussed.
Yeah.
And it was shocking to me and you and the audience. It seemed to like a dam was bursting there on some level. Now, obviously, it's a little more complicated than that. So that showed me the problem. A big part of the problem was the spiritual parasites. And then in 2013, I asked him again. I said, okay, I understand the problem. How is this going to be resolved? Could you please explain it to me? And then this has only happened once. It was almost immediate. I had a telepathic download where I could actually see that waves of energy are going to wash over the planet from 2013 to 2022, this year, and that everything was going to be revealed. Everybody's consciousness was going to be amplified, and everyone was going to have to make a choice whether they were going to go down the path of the dark side or the path of light. So I'm glad you asked me that question. I'm sitting here on hold, and suddenly I realized I've been asking questions and getting some very conclusive answers or information.
Now, did you say you're going to back off media for a while?
It happened, yes. I feel like it's just a little too dangerous because of the, not just cancel culture, but there's a lot of draconian stuff that's going to come around. It's going to get worse before it gets better is what I'm trying to say. And they warned me back in 2020 when we had this conversation about the angels, angelology.
Yeah.
They said, if you help us, you're going to become targeted by the fallen ones. And if you're not, you're going to get kicked off the radio, which happened. And then, and if you're not careful, you're going to get kicked off the planet, to put it mildly.
Okay? Well, who kicked you off radio? What happened?
Well, it's because I was talking about the fallen angels. I was on KGRA, and all it takes is one person to send an angry letter to the station manager, and
that got you.
A lawsuit. What?
And that got you, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, it was an untenable situation. I didn't want to cause trouble for the management or the station. They've been very nice to me. And ultimately, I got welcomed back later. I was off all media for about 8 months. And it was actually our mutual friend, Jeff Daugherty. He wrote to me and he said, Robert, you know, I understand you're concerned about your safety, but, you know, you're being kind of, we need to hear from you. You know, please consider coming back. So I did. I started by going on Jeff's show. And then it kind of snowballed from there. But I'm at the point now where I need to take this. I don't want to do this, but I feel like it's prudent.
Take a little breather for a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
All right, you'll be back. Let's go to calls.
Back, yeah.
Mayat in New York City, welcome to the program. Hello, Mayat.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Very interesting, as usual, George, show. First of all, I have some comment, and I understand, and I want, and then a two-part question. And George always takes care to make sure that my concerns are addressed. First of all, I think we need to look at, and part of the dilemma, Robert, you're in, and I really appreciate your work, is that what happens around religions. Okay, so. Presently in this country, we have Stephen Marsh, a journalist who just did a book, The Next Civil War, Dispatches from America's Future, just published. And there's a 67% chance of such happening and people thinking it would be a good idea. And those are people who have fabricated a type of Christianity. So my point is that if everyone listens to Zeitgeist, which explains the origin in terms of the astronomical aspects of the solar, the sun, Orion, the three kings and all, it all comes from the stars. And then it transfigured to our original civilizations, which we don't really acknowledge in terms of the origin of Christianity in no place but what we call Africa now and the so-called Middle East. But my question concerns, very interesting your definition, Robert, of Satan. So I'd like you to give us one on Lucifer, particularly mindful that the Illuminati, the real cabal, the real people that you don't even see who really run things, they have lifted up Lucifer to the point that it seems to bleed into the archons. That's the other part of my question, because those who read in the occult and how the world really works, the archons are never discussed. Not familiar with your article, but we'll be looking for it. But they are part of this low frequency who also seemed to be charged. And, George, I'm sure you have my questions and concerns. Oh, and just lastly, there was a brilliant discussion around Ingersoll Lockwood on Coast with Richard Serrett. And one of the books that he wrote was called Laconics of Cult. And he takes a deep dive into how we're basically entrancified into the way that we use these religions. And I'll listen over the air, Robert, for your responses. Thank you, George.
Okay, we're going to talk about Satan and the Archons, Robert.
Okay, I think she'd also ask about Lucifer. And so he would be a subordinate. Now, a lot of people, the narrative out there is they're trying to equate Lucifer with Enki. I disagree. I don't think that's accurate. I'm not sure which one of the lower-ranking Anunnaki would fill that role. Again, I think it's more like a collective. But Satan is not even—he's not even on this planet. He's just the administrator of the lower realms. And so, part of the problem that we're facing is that the lower-ranking ones, these fallen ones, are really, I think, the ones that gave us religion so that they could divide us up and control us or continue to further manipulate us one against the other and keep us weak. There's another part of a question. Oh, the Archons.
The Archons.
Yeah. So those are thought forms that are coming from the dark side, from the lower astral realm, that the fallen ones have basically asked for assistance in maintaining control here. And they've been doing kind of a very, I mean, it's organized crime for sure on a level that we can't quite understand. But here's the thing. In the Anunnaki language, a serpent is co-equal. It means with a scientist. That's what they call a scientist. And there's different levels of scientists. And so a lower-ranking scientist would be called a one-eyed serpent. And the higher-ranking ones are called two-eyed serpents. And, of course, you see that in the caduceus, in the medical industry, you know, with the two snakes intertwined.
Right.
So the one-eyed serpent is why you see the Illuminati always shows you the one eye. That's really what it is.
Interesting take on all of that. Let's go to some more calls. Let us go next to Debbie in Fountain City, Wisconsin. Hi, Deb. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Nice talking to you. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a few small questions. Can the Anunnaki, do they change forms? Can they change their form or look at what do they look like? Are they tall?
Yes, they're taller than us, and yes, they can change their form. Absolutely.
Are they shapeshifters, Robert?
Yeah, apparently so. And this is not a trick. Yeah.
What kind of forms do they take? Are they night forms? They're not
only sound, but light. And they know how to control it really well. Again, this is what I was saying about the science that they understand. We only know part of it, the lower end of it. They like you said, they can do mystical, magical things, and we just don't fully comprehend how it's done yet.
What else you have, Deb?
Let me say the shiny ones. Do they actually shine, or is it that their bodies that are shiny, or do they radiate?
Yeah, why do they call them the shining ones?
Right. Yes. Okay, so they're tapped into something that our scientists call the cosmic web of light. And everything is connected to these tributaries of light that flows through all of creation. And we can't see it with our physical eyes. I was shown it up in Malibu in the mountains years ago, and then only recently did I find that scientists claim that they've used instruments to record this to measure it. And they're only looking at the macro scale. I was shown that it's connected everything, even down to the micro and the subatomic level. There's filaments of light that literally connect everything.
Next up, we have Jeremy in South Texas. Hi, Jeremy. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hello. Hi, George. Hi, Mr. Stanley.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
May I explain quickly where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, I believe our everyday purpose is very important for many of us to eventually reach that good light, right? So, for example, I'm about to graduate a university in the mental health field.
Good for you.
And it's been a long process for that. And I've been trying to reach that good light. And I really believe that whole idea of life can be like a learning school process. And so I came up with these questions because I heard you explaining about the Chumash priests of Anu. And can you explain more in depth who they are? And are they mixed with fallen ones and those of good light? And what is their purpose with Anu? And then lastly, which specific books could you recommend that you wrote that speaks of these priests of Anu? And thank you so much, Mr. Stanley. And
okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Wow, that's a that's a big question. I have not fully published everything. I'm still working on it. There's some books on my website that you can link to, specifically because you're in the mental health field. I suggest you look on my homepage, scroll down to Your Immortal. It's a book called Your Immortal Body of Light. That will make a lot of sense to you. It certainly spoke to me. And the Ontop are a secret society among the Chumash that were allegedly disbanded by the Spaniards when they came in to take over. They realized they couldn't take control of the that region until they dealt with the Ontop. So they killed some of them, and then they made their religion illegal, and declared them terrorists. So they're very much hidden. And the thing is, even when they were fully active with among the Chumash society, they kept to themselves. They spoke a separate language, and which they never spoke in front of anybody who was not part of their group. And I only found out, you know, recently about them, even though I knew them. I didn't know that they were connected to Anu, but it's spelled A-N-T-A-P. You could Google it. You're not going to get a lot of information about it. But like I said, they're clearly connected with the Belt Stars of Orion, or the House of Orion, also known as An or Anu.
Robert, if we believe the Anunnaki might be the fallen angels or the good angels, what is heaven and what is hell?
Okay, my understanding is that the lower astral realm is where a lot of souls get stuck because they've gone into this place of victimhood and anger and or guilt and shame, all the negative emotions, basically. There's a place for that. But our origins are as souls, are a place of light and love and non-duality. Peace and greater understanding and compassion. All the beings there are just fully aware and very happy and healthy and loving. But again, in order for us to achieve our true potential, we choose, we don't have to, but we choose to come to these lower realms and learn. It's really pretty simple, actually. But it's one of the things. But we have to agree, just like when you go to school, you have to live on, or work by the rules. Whatever the school's rules are, you have to follow them. Otherwise, you're not going to be, you're not permitted to come in, or you may be kicked out if you don't want to do that. And so, one of the rules is you have to agree to forget.
Absolutely, Robert. Agree. Stay safe, and when you're ready to come back on the radio, you let me know. Okay. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and the Ian Pundit, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.